In this particular study done in Sweden, they revealed that 4 out of 10 widows reported that the pre-loss period was more stressful than the post-loss. That's an excerpt from the show. Today, we'll be discussing anticipatory grief, and here's the intro.
Welcome to Managing My Grief, where it's all about learning to live with grief after experiencing loss. Here's your host, Miss Dilworth.
I'm glad you chose to join me for this discussion on anticipatory grief. Did you know that there are 15 types of grief? Death alone is challenging to grieve, but there are other losses that occur after losing companionship, such as changes in family roles, financial changes, and loss of dreams of what could be. Keep in mind that the type of grief we'll be discussing isn't good or bad. It's a mere way for you to identify what you are experiencing. When you understand what you are experiencing, it can be used as a grounding place, and it can bring normalcy to the experience, which in itself is gratifying and beneficial. Anticipatory grief, or what some call preparatory grief, occurs before death. This type of grief is common to experience when someone finds out that a loved one, or they themselves, will eventually die, usually related to a chronic illness or a surgery gone wrong. It's extremely challenging because the person is in an in-between place. On one hand, wanting to embrace hope that the person will live, while on the other hand, trying to cope with the idea of losing the person, all while trying to enjoy the time they have left with that person. Since anticipatory grief is rarely discussed, people experiencing it often feel isolated. If they were to express their grief, many times people aren't supportive or don't accept the person's pain because the person who is sick is still living. Think about the partner who finds out that their spouse has stage 4 cancer and only has a few months to live. What are some things that partners are told? How's your spouse doing? Or, it's great that you get to spend the last few months together. Here's a common one. It's unfortunate the doctors found out too late. I keep you in my thoughts and prayers. While all these comments sound supportive and empathetic, in reality, they are superficial and non-supportive to the person experiencing the grief. True empathetic comments will go something like this. Wow, I can't imagine what it's like to have to watch a spouse slowly die. How are you handling it? Or, this whole situation is tough, and I'm sure it's hard to handle alone. If you ever want to talk or have someone to sit with, let me know. Or, this has to be painful for you. How are you dealing with this upcoming loss? Do you hear the difference between the two sets of comments? One doesn't truly acknowledge the spouse, and the second set sees the spouse for where they are and what they are experiencing. In our fast-paced, self-centered world, many deliberately choose the first set because it elicits a precise and non-deeply emotional response, resulting in the person commenting feeling as if they have been supportive, but in reality, dismissed the grief that the person is experiencing. Yes, it will take time to sit and listen or to sit in silence with someone, but if you truly want to support the person, you have to see the person for where they are mentally and emotionally. There was a Swedish study done with widows whose relatives were dying from cancer. The study used the anticipatory grief scale, which was created in 1991, and it uses the Likert scale. In this case, the scale was 1 to 5, 1 meaning strongly disagree, and 5 meaning strongly agree. The widows filled out the self-assessment questionnaire based on what they were currently experiencing. Questions ranged in topics from daydreaming about how things used to be before the diagnosis to feelings, reactions, and future thoughts. In this particular study done in Sweden, they revealed that 4 out of 10 widows reported that the pre-loss period was more stressful than the post-loss. In another Swedish study comparing anticipatory grief with relatives whose loved ones had dementia and to relatives of patients with cancer, showed more similarities than dissimilarities, including their overall stress. The relatives reported experiencing feelings of missing and longing, inability to accept the terminal fact, preoccupation with the ill, tearfulness, sleeping problems, anger, loneliness, and a need to talk. Apart from the two studies, there are other experiences people have while experiencing anticipatory grief, such as guilt, rehearsing the person's future death, physical ailments can arise, challenges with memory, anxiety, and for children who are experiencing anticipatory grief, anxiety and fear of what's going to happen to them after the death. As stressful and intense as anticipatory grief can be, there are a few benefits. Anticipatory grief allows the person to say all the things they want to say before the person's death. It doesn't make it less painful, but it does not add an additional weight on their shoulders. Another benefit is that it can make letting go a little bit easier, depending on the diagnosis. It's painful to see a loved one in pain and slowly dying. For some, telling themselves that their loved one isn't in pain anymore can make it a little bit easier in letting them go to the next place. Not much, but a little bit easier. In Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's book on death and dying, she talks about how the person who is dying is given the opportunity to reflect on their life and, for many, embrace personal growth and finding meaning. I liked how Dr. Lynn Eldridge put it, "Grief before death isn't a substitute for grief later on and won't necessarily shorten the grieving process after death occurs." So what do you do? First, understand that your reaction is normal. There is no one-size-fits-all regarding grief. If you come across someone who tells you that you have to grieve a certain way or you are grieving wrong or too long, ignore them. You grieve however you want to grieve. The next step to keep in mind is the intensity of grief. Some are able to function and work through grief, while others, the grief can become so intense and overwhelming that it interferes with daily functioning, and for others, suicidal, self-harming, or homicidal thoughts or behaviors can occur. If you find yourself in the last two places, please seek support from a licensed mental health therapist. There are different ways to find one. Through your insurance, Psychology Today is a good resource if you are in the US, Europe, or Australia. And if you don't have insurance, there are online resources that provide services on a sliding scale or pro bono. If the grief you're experiencing doesn't interfere with your daily functioning and you aren't having suicidal, homicidal, or self-harming thoughts or behaviors, and don't feel the need to see a licensed mental health therapist, but you are wanting ideas on ways to cope, listen to the last few minutes of Events That Cause Grief show, or check out Psychology Today. They have great articles. And tune in for a future show that will be solely dedicated to ways to cope with grief. To learn more about grief, click on another show. To attend a grief workshop, go to managingmygrief.net. Have a productive day and live in your greatness.